Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We've been talking about the fires, though, in County Tipperary, at Slievenamon, and also in parts of County Waterford over the past couple of days. But Dublin firefighters spent much of the bank holiday weekend tackling wildfires in the Dublin mountains. And Antoinette is with me here on the programme today because, Antoinette, I believe the fire started right behind your home.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for giving us the airtime to highlight this. The fire actually started last Saturday week and it was further over than my home. It was over near the bike park, which is Glencullen Adventure Park. So it's been burning now for probably 10 or 11 days. But on Friday, it actually turned and
it
came
changed.
Towards
yeah.
my home. Yeah, the gorse all caught. And it was just terrifying here. I've had firemen yesterday morning. I even had firemen here at 4:30 in the morning. So it's been an awful few days for us with neighbours. Absolutely terrified. Some had to get out of their homes. The fire actually burnt down to the road at one stage. The roads have to be closed. So it's been a terrifying time for everybody here, businesses and residents. It's absolutely shocking that this is allowed to happen and that nothing really over the years gone by, because it happens every year.
Yeah. And I know that, and it's a fair point that things had certainly, from what I'd spotted online and from the firefighters' social media, things seem to have died down. But it also seems to have reignited, Antoinette, did it at some point?
That's the issue. I went to bed on Sunday thinking this is great, I'll get a sleep. And I got a frantic call from a neighbour, said, have you looked out your window at 4:15? And the flames were jumping. Now, in fairness, the firemen arrived. I can say nothing but good things about them.
Yeah.
Those poor men have been absolutely battling this. They've been constantly here. But unfortunately for them, there is no access for them to get their trucks up on the hill. So they've been trying to access from behind my house, pulling hoses with very poor water pressure. Now, we did have helicopters on Friday, and that actually really, really helped. It doused most of it. But then there are pockets where it's burning under the ground because it's all peat, Andrea. So then it sparks, it hits another piece of gorse, and off it goes again. And we're back to square one.
At 4:15 in the morning when you looked out the window, and as you said, Antoinette, you can see the flames jumping, as you described it. It's how close roughly are we talking about to your home?
I'd say probably a half a mile. And now it has travelled and it's gone further up the hill and it's at the entrance of the forest. So the poor old devils in the gap are all fighting that. They've been there day and night for the past week and a half. But last night, it was really very dangerous. It actually did get into certain amounts of the forest. Neighbours were called to come to dig trenches. People did rally and go. But it's not a safe thing for people to do and we shouldn't be in this position. If the hill was managed and the gorse was cut, like, it's public, it's commonage. So why are we in this position that this is happening? Nobody wants to take charge of this. And now something has to be done, Andrea. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. That's not saying that physically and mentally people aren't scarred from this, because we are. I'm exhausted.
I'd say you
absolutely
are.
Exhausted. You know, you get no sleep. My mom is 90. God love her, the other day, she had a little bag packed with her passport and she said to me, my will is in it. We'll be like, to have to do that is absolutely shameful. And if this was started by somebody, they should be ashamed of themselves. But my thing is, if it started, it should be able to be controlled, and it's not.
And when you say that the firefighters were struggling at times, Antoinette, to get the fire
access.
Trucks to gain access to the area, why is that? Just the width
because
of the road?
There is no access. No, there is none. There's no access onto that hill except from the Glencullen Adventure Park when the fire was actually behind mine, which is probably a mile or half a mile away from them. So they were coming in my driveway up onto the back trying to access the hill. They had a big Jeep. A local man, Gary Snow, came with water tanks, fill himself. They had hoses in that, trying to spray it. A couple of neighbours down the road came, tried to beat it out. And that's what they were fighting with. Like, that's not good enough, Andrea.
And it's not the first time either, Antoinette. Like, this is the, you
every
know, this
year.
Is...
Every year. My mother is 90, as I said.
Yeah.
And she has experienced this every year. And we do know certain people set hills on fire for grazing for the sheep. Whether that was on this occasion or not, I don't know.
Don't know.
It just got mad out of control.
Yeah. It just seems
so we can't say what started it just now needs to be controlled and we are so tired of it here. Last year or 2 years ago I had the same conversation with one of my councillors and he put motions together, but it's all talk. We don't get any results and this is what has happened and it could come to a sorry end. It's just not acceptable that we are left in this position with ground that is commonage that somebody or all areas need to come together and take charge and manage it.
Today, now at 10 past 12, as you look out the window this lunchtime, Antoinette, and I know there was some, you know, kind of rain and drizzle at times overnight, but was it enough to dampen things down, or how?
Absolutely not. I'm now looking out my back window and I can see into the forest and I see the lads from the Gap with shovels trying to bash that down. The smoke is teetering all along the side of that forest. So it didn't go out.
And I'm sure the smell, if this is going on for...
Oh, the smell. People, I had one woman ring me today to offer to off wash all my clothes. But as the one the fireman said to me, how lucky are you? You've got the fire, but not the smoke. So I don't know which I take. But realistically, that's how good our neighbours have been. Really good community here. But really and truly, yeah, we shouldn't be in this position.
Stay with us, Antoinette, for a moment, because, you know, just listening to you describe the scene there today, I think Dexter is horrified at, you know, the thoughts of this. And as you say, the close proximity to your home as well. Valerie's on the line, Antoinette. Valerie, you're a resident in the area, part of the Glen Cullen Tidy District. Is that right?
Yes.
So what can you see today and what have you been dealing with in recent days?
We have been dealing with smoke more so than anything else. When the wind changes, there's times you can't even see outside your window. We can't open our windows. In fact, today is the first day that I've had my windows open, I'd say, in the best part of a week. The smell in the house is unbearable. But what we are suffering is nothing to what the people are suffering on the hill, because they are terrified of their houses. And like you're also talking of farmers who are in danger of losing fodder
as a result of this.
As a result of this, like nobody knows. Like if the wind was to change, nobody knows where this fire is going to spread.
And have locals been asked, or farmers in the area, have they been asked, like we've heard in other parts of the country, you know, to go out and to assist with the effort, or what's the situation?
That is something I don't know, but all I do know is when I put out the call on Friday afternoon for help, the help was phenomenal. People came from Wicklow, people came from Glenismole, people came from Rathfarnham. Anyone that was either on, had access to Facebook, somebody made a phone call, but we had approximately 70 people arrived from both the football club, locals and local farmers around the area. The call was unreal. Then we made a call. We made a call for water and food. Oh my God.
Huge support.
I couldn't even begin to, we had foxes, we had the golden ball, we had Circle K, we had grizzly, we had fresh and Stepaside. One woman went down to Stepaside to buy bread and ham and Ballyogan. And as soon as they found out what the ham and bread was, they handed it to her, told her, take it. You know, This was the sort of community spirit. This is what we are badly in lacking. Lack of planning, lack of not being able to have your family build beside you. Well, people are losing that family, the spirit, the community spirit. But when that call went out, oh my God, I couldn't explain it. And then we opened the Stars of Erin Football Club and we opened a hub in it and we supplied tea and food for all the volunteers.
Yeah, to try and sort of feed people and help people, I suppose, that have been there for in recent days.
I know this is nothing to like the fires on the continent, but this is our fire. And this was our call for help.
Yeah.
This was our emergency.
And people came. Can you, Antoinette, just maybe explain exactly where the blaze is at its worst today and over the weekend, just so listeners are aware?
Today, the outside, just my back area, it's smouldering. I can't see a blaze, But that doesn't mean that smouldering gets a thing of wind. Next thing a blaze shoots out up in the air. And right now it's at the edge of the forest for the Gap Adventure Park. It's smouldering badly. There must be fire because they're up there beating. So that's what we're at today.
Yeah, that's the situation at the moment. Michael Fleming, independent councillor for Dunleary Rathdown, is joining us here as well on the line this afternoon. Michael, why can't more be done to help the firefighters and the volunteers, as Valerie talked about, that have been there trying to dampen this down over the past week or so?
Yeah, Andrea, thanks for having me on. And I know Antoinette and Valerie very well, and well done to Val for putting out that call on Friday and rallied the troops up, because it was a great sense of community. And unfortunately, we had to do the same again last night. The call went out, had to get volunteers up because it was getting so close to the forest. And if it took hold of the forest, the whole mountain would be gone. And you're not, it's a lot more houses and a lot more businesses. And I don't think they would have been able to get it under control. But by speaking to people in the area, there isn't joint up thinking between the services. Now, the fire brigade men have been absolutely wonderful. They've been up there. We were working hand in hand with them all over the weekend. And they're a great bunch of lads. Mm. But like, we have a civil service, civil defence. And these have fire brigades and engines there. They have volunteers, but they're rarely called upon, and they're getting very frustrated that when it comes to situations like this, they're not being called upon. Quilcha will only protect their forests, and it's very rare that they will get the helicopter out with the buckets when needed. And as Antoinette said, lots of these houses are not accessible for the fire brigade. So we need to have joint up thinking with all the services when it comes to these wildfires.
But surely that's a huge problem. Like as Antoinette described today, if we have the firefighters and fire brigades not even able to gain access to this area.
Yeah, and that's where the helicopters come in, so important. Do you mean? Because they can get to areas that the men can't get to. We were carrying hoses up through Gorse for the fire brigade last night, and we were walking about 30 or 40 men in a line lifting these hoses up through the Gorse because they hadn't got enough men with them. Not saying they hadn't got enough crews, but they needed our help.
They needed more manpower, looking at the
that's
area.
And that's what we did. And then we bet them down with shovels and bet the fire down. And thankfully, it didn't go into the forest. But there needs to be joint up thinking. There needs to be control.
And who is in charge, Michael, of organising that? Like, who's the project manager of this?
There isn't. And that's the reality of it. There isn't a joint up coordination team. Like, if you have a storm in this country, you have a response.
It's a national coordination,
Yeah. And that's the same with these wildfires. Across the country, we've had these. And as Valerie said, this is not Spain. It's not Greece, where they're having big, big, massive fires. But we are having localised fires that need to be under control, because it's the likes of Antoinette there. I've spoken to Antoinette over the years, and the fires come up very, very close to her house on a number of occasions. And I mean 10 metres away from her house. And it's not good enough. It's not good enough to put people in the fear of their lives like that. And we need a national response. And then the minister, the OPW, the Minister of Forestry, they all have to get around a table now and come up with a response team.
But you're even through the local authorities, the local Dunleary Rathdown County Council. Is there not a role there?
There is. They pay the fire service, and they should be insisting that the civil defence is called out, especially on times like this. Like, volunteers should not be getting relied on to go up and dampen down fires and assist fire brigades. Now, if your neighbour needs help, you go, and that's it. And we're all very happy to do it. And there's a great sense of community in the area. But this needs a bigger picture. This is like the national coordination.
Who's going to make that call?
Well, I'll be writing to the Minister of the Forestries, of the OPW. And I would be looking for them to do that. I'll also be getting onto our chief executive in Dunleary Rathdown, asking why the civil defence aren't being called out by the fire brigade. And Quilcha should be involved as well, because they have their own forests beside privately owned forests. But you can't let a privately owned forest burn, because that'll just spread into one of their forests. And it'll go across the whole mountain.
Well, keep us posted, Michael, if there's any developments, you know, with regards.
I just want to say thanks to Val, and thanks to the whole community that came out, and everybody that volunteered. And unfortunately, we had too many volunteers at one stage, and we had to ask people to to go home. But it was an amazing response. And without that response, that fire would have got into them woods. And that's the truth.
So. I'm sure, just maybe Antoinette, on a final point today, like, we can hear the frustration in your voice, and you're talking about your mum. That your mum lives with you, Antoinette, does she? Or she lives close by?
She lives with me, yeah.
Yeah. And it is very frustrating for you.
That's the shocking part, you know what I mean? To put people in danger. But as Mick is saying there, the resources need, we can talk all day long.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just ridiculous.
Somebody needs to take control of this.
Somebody needs to do something before something happens. Somebody's home or somebody gets hurt. And there's no time to wait for that. Let's do it now. This has been a disaster, but it was managed. It's still not over. Looking up that hill, that's still not over. So something has to be done now. And if the helicopter could come right now and just douse all of what's burning up there now until it stops smouldering, please God, that would be the forest saved. And those men in the gap who are working tirelessly to try and fight that fire would now be able to go home and have a rest. It's just so unfair watching them. Very sad, Andrea, very sad.
I can only imagine, Antoinette. And look, I hope things settle down in the next day or so, and that, you know, yourself and your mum and Valerie and the rest there, the community and the volunteer effort will get some little bit of respite and a break from all of this. Long 10 days for you, no doubt about it. Antoinette, Valerie and Independent Councillor in Dunleary Rathdown, Michael Fleming, they're with us here on the programme today. The email, if you want to join us, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.